Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. Maddie Claire and Ellie and choir, praise team, thank you for leading us in worship. Don't y'all love to sing God's praises? I do. I love gathering with God's people and singing God's praises and worshiping Him. And wow, what a great blessing you have with a praise team and worship leaders who lead you to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I just want to begin by saying, go Packers. Now listen, you may be wondering, are you a Packers fan? No, but I know who fed me tonight. And Matt, a guy right back here, said if I'd brag on the Packers, he'd give $10,000 to the mission fund. And so you look for that check in the offering tonight. What a joy to be with you at First Baptist Moultrie. I love your pastor, and I know you do, but I thank God for Matt Peek. He is absolutely one of my favorite pastors and preachers in all the world, and especially the state of Georgia. I'm so thankful for young men like Matt who are coming up and carrying forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to give you an idea of difference in age between Matt and I, because I know we look like we're almost the same age. Matt was 3.5 years old when I started pastoring my first church. Matt was not even thought of when I started preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was about 3.5 when I started pastoring the first church that Peggy and I were privileged to serve. I grew up in Sylvester, Georgia. Peggy grew up in Doe Run, Georgia, and so we have deep South Georgia roots, and I am so very thankful for so many of our family who have come tonight to be with us and encourage us in this time. And thank you for being here this evening as well. You know, I was looking at the lineup of preachers y'all have had this week, and my goodness, your pastor loves you, not because I'm here. I may be the fly in the ointment tonight. I was hoping when I came in, when I walked up tonight, I asked Matt, I said, how's it going this week? I was hoping it was going to go. It was awful. It's just been terrible, because you can't mess that up. You can't mess terrible up. But he was like, man, it's been great. It's been awesome. You know, and I thought, oh, Lord, you sent me. But I was looking at that lineup, and the men that you've had preaching this week have been incredible. And as I looked at the lineup, I felt a little bit like the farmer's mule that got entered in the Kentucky Derby. Did y'all hear about that? This farmer entered his mule into the Kentucky Derby, and one of his farmer friends said, yo, fool, said, he ain't going to win the race. He said, I know he ain't, but just think of the company he'll get to keep. And so I feel kind of like that, you know, when I look at those guys. So I appreciate you being here tonight. We're going to talk tonight about gospel generosity. We've been doing a series of messages at Lakeside called We Have a Stewardship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul said, what do you have that you were not given? Now you think about that. What do you have that you haven't been given? Because God gave us life, and everything we have flows out of the life God's given us, by virtue of that, everything we have has been given to us. Therefore, we are stewards. We don't own anything. We may claim that we own things, and we may say that we own things, but when we really stop and think about it, they're just on loan, aren't they? Because even if we are able to possess them and steward them for a little while, we're going to pass from the scene and somebody else is going to take possession of those things. And so our whole life is a stewardship. We're managing the affairs of another. That's what a steward is. That's what a steward does. He manages the affairs of another. And so as a follower of Jesus Christ, we should really view our whole life as a stewardship. And we often think about stewardship in terms of finances, but it's far more than finances. It includes that, but it's way under more than just finances. It's really everything that we are, everything we have, everything we are, everything we possess. We're a steward of those things. Now, we refer to them as mine. And I made an understanding with God. Have you ever helped God understand something? I was praying one day, and I caught myself saying this. Father, I pray that you would bless my wife, and you'd bless my son, and you'd bless my marriage. And I stopped, and I said, now, Lord, and I really did do this. I'm not kidding y'all. This isn't preacher talk. This is just me. And I said, Lord, I said, you do know that when I say my, I mean your, because I know that you lend it to me, and the only reason it's mine behind it because you gave it to me in the first place. So just know when I say my, I mean yours, but it's the only way I can say it. And so when I pray for my ministry, my church, my family, my friends, the Lord knows that. And see, I helped him understand that day. And y'all know I'm kidding about that, right? You know, nothing ever occurred to God. And so, by the way, there are men in Milledgeville, Georgia praying for you tonight. Now, they're not so much concerned about your eternal soul, but they know how weird I am. They know you don't know how weird I am. And so I've asked them, I said, men, would y'all pray for First Baptist Moultrie? Y'all know how weird I am. They don't. And so they're praying for y'all to have a spirit of understanding tonight as we come together. And so we want to talk about being stewards of the gospel. So we preach this message at Lakeside in this series on gospel generosity. And I extended a challenge to our church. As I was preparing the message, I went to Peggy and I said, darling, would it be okay if we do something? And I said, I want to get $200 in $20 bills, and I want to put them in 10 envelopes, and I want to mark those envelopes, Gospel Generosity Challenge. And I said, on Sunday morning when I preach this message, I want to ask for 10 people who will physically take the challenge to go out and be generous with the gospel. And so we did that. And so at the beginning of the message, I told the church, I said, now, at point number three, now, thank you for preparing. Who prepared the notes for the night? That's beautiful. That is wonderful. If you'll look, you can keep right up with where I'm going. All right, so you notice your bulletin insert outline there. When I get to point number three, I'm going to ask for 10 volunteers tonight who will come up and take one of these 10 envelopes, and the 10 envelopes contain three things. Number one, it contains a gospel tract, a way that you can simply and succinctly share the gospel. And your pastor approved it. In fact, he provided those. Your church provided those. It also contains a informational pamphlet about your church so that you can invite your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your coworkers to come and be with you at First Baptist Moultrie and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, the envelope contains a second envelope that's marked Gospel Generosity Challenge, and there's a $20 bill in here. Now, that $20 bill, you can use any way you want to. This is what I challenged our church. Be creative. Use it as creatively as you can to connect with somebody you know or don't know, in order to build a bridge so that through that you might be able to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I didn't know how our folks were going to respond. Now, like I said, they know how weird I am, so I didn't think they'd freak out about it. And y'all, we had 10 people come, and they were just like, I'll take that challenge. The next Saturday, a gentleman texted me, and he said, Pastor, here's my gospel generosity story. Jim is a retired Maryland state trooper, now living in Milledgeville, and he and his wife, Lori, have become a part of our church. He said, Pastor, I'd always been desiring to share the gospel, but I've always been afraid. And I can't imagine a Maryland state trooper being afraid of anything, but he said, I was always afraid to share the gospel. And he said, I went into 2024 and I said, Lord, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I'm going to share the gospel this year. He said, and then you preach this message. And he said, it was like God said, this is for you. He said, so I decided, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get me a bag of quarters. And I'm going to go to a laundromat in the heart of Milledgeville where the neediest people are. And I'm going to hang out there. And I'm going to offer to pay for people's laundry if they'll let me pray for them. Now, I thought at that point he had taken our $20 bill, converted it to quarters, and was going. And that was fine, because it do whatever you want. Then he said this. He said, so when I got to the laundromat, I'd gotten some of the Bibles from the church. I'd gotten some church invite cards. He said, and I had the quarters in my bag and the $20 bill, gospel tract, and church invite card in the envelope. Sid used his own money to get the quarters. And he said, before I got out of the car, a man approached me and said, sir, I just spent my last 50 cents in the laundromat. Can you help me? And he said, well, I sure can. He said, I began to talk to him and talk to him about the Lord. And the guy began to weep. And he said, well, I used to be in church. My mama raised me right. He said, but I haven't been in church in a long time and I need to be. And Jim said, well, sir, can I pray for you? And said, the guy began to weep and said, you would pray for me? And he said, absolutely, I'd pray for you. And so he prayed for him. And he said, sir, if you had a Bible, would you read it? And he said, oh, I sure would. And he said, I reached in my bag and I gave him a Bible. And he said, and started to walk away. He said, now mind you, no money had changed hands. He said, and I thought about the gospel challenge envelope. And he said, sir, I'd like to give you something. And he said, I handed him that envelope. And he said, there's $20 bills in there. And he said, you can use it any way you want to. There's a gospel tract that'll tell you how much Jesus loves you and how he died for you and will set you free. And they parted company. And Jim said, but I still had a sack of quarters. He said, I said, well, I might as well go on with my mission. And for the next 5 hours, this retired state trooper from Maryland, transplanted to Milledgeville, just accepting a simple challenge from his church, spent the next 5 hours paying for people's laundry if they'd let him pray for them. And he said, as I would pay for their laundry and pray for them, they'd start talking about their life. And Jim had about 20 gospel conversations in about a 4 or 5 hour period because of a gospel challenge. At point number 3, I'm going to ask you to be bold and courageous and come get an envelope. I'm going to ask you to take the challenge. Now, at the end, we're going to all take the challenge if we're willing, but only have envelopes for 10. So at point number 3, I'm going to just ask you. I'm going to be bold enough to ask you. Peggy and I have been praying for 10. We have men in Milledgeville, seriously, who are praying for 10 tonight. My mom and Peggy and I, on the ride down here today, we're praying for 10. Matt, John David, and I prayed in the pastor's study just before we came out here. We prayed for 10. Will you be one of the 10 that will begin to lead this church to a new level of gospel generosity in the world around us? So before we dive into the text of Matthew chapter 10, I've got a little trivia question for you. You like trivia? I like trivia. All right, so now listen to this. Listen closely now. How many pieces of mail does the post office deliver between Thanksgiving and Christmas? Does anybody know? How many pieces of mail does the post office deliver between Thanksgiving and Christmas? Y'all ever heard that question before? Y'all have. Matt asked that question. Well, what's the answer? Hey, at least they remembered the question. 13 billion. November 26th, your pastor asked that question. I was listening to his message because he preached on this passage, and I thought, I'm going to see if they were listening. They were listening. They at least remembered the question. I'm impressed. All right, we ain't going to talk about mail tonight, but we are going to talk about this. Look at the central truth. The central truth tonight is this, that followers of Jesus Christ will find great joy as they obediently and generously give the gospel of Jesus Christ away. We're to be free with the gospel. We're to give the gospel away. And we find great joy as we do that obediently to the Lord. So we have our Bibles open to Matthew chapter 10. If you would, and you're willing and able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? We've developed that habit, practice, and pattern at Lakeside, and I would appreciate your doing that with me this evening. I'm going to read from my Bible, just invite you to follow along in your Bibles as I read Matthew 10, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first is Simon, who is also called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter into the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts or a bag for your journey or even two coats or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worthy of his support. And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. Whoever does not receive you, nor heed your words, as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Father, tonight we ask you in the name of Jesus to open our eyes that we might observe wonderful things from your law. Father, give me the authority, the unction, the power of the Holy Spirit to preach your word in truth for your glory and the good of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And here's Roman numeral number one. Roman numeral number one on our teaching outline. The authority and power for the mission of the church comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not operating in our own power. We're operating in the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that in verse 1? Look back at Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Now Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them what? Authority. He gave them executive authority, the authority to go and do. And so we see that. He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And you say, wait a minute, preacher, but that's just the 12. But then if you go to Matthew chapter 28, we won't turn there for sake of time tonight, but in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20, just before Jesus ascended back to the Father. By this time, Jesus has been crucified, buried, and resurrected. Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus died for our sins? Do you believe he was buried? Do you believe he was raised from the dead? That's our hope. That's our hope, that Jesus was crucified, buried, resurrected. By this time, Matthew 28, Jesus has been crucified, buried, resurrected. Now he's gathered with his followers. We don't know exactly how many are there, but it's more than just these 12. And to those who were assembled there, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, go in my authority and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And we recognize that as a great commission to whom? The entire church. And so in Matthew 10, Jesus gave specific authority to a specific 12. But in Matthew 28, Jesus gave specific authority to a broad number that I believe are uncountable in human terms. That includes you and me if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the authority. The authority comes from Jesus. But what about the power? Well, the power to do it comes from him as well. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before Jesus ascended, he looked at his disciples, not just the 12, but many gathered there on that hillside that day. And what did he say? He said, you will receive what? Power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, when does the Holy Spirit come upon you? When you're saved, when you're born again, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And as Matt was preaching through some of this passage in Matthew 10, back in November, December, he talked about how that this is our Jerusalem, Moultrie, and then you go out to your Judea, your surrounding areas, and the state of Georgia, and the United States, and the world. But it begins right here. It begins right here where we are. But listen, this is what I want you to know. We have authority. We have authority. Peggy and I have the great privilege of pastoring a precious church in Milledgeville called Lakeside Baptist Church. And one of our members is the president of the Georgia Independent School Association. And so every year they would invite us to the GISA football state championships. And I would be able to go and do the invocation up at Mercer, five-star stadium at Mercer. And, you know, the coaches and players would come in and they would get a field house and a sideline pass. And then the reporters would come in and they would get a press pass and they could go on the sidelines. Peggy and I got all access passes. We could go anywhere in five-star stadium. Y'all, I'd go places I didn't even belong just because I could be there. And I'd like to do this. I'd hide my badge, you know. I'd hide my badge, and I'd walk in, and somebody would say, "You can't be here," I'd say. And it's, "Oh, okay, you can be here." Y'all, we're moping around a world that belongs to the Lord as if we don't have authority to move. We're asking for permission when the king has already said, "Go." We already have the authority. We just need to act on his authority. Now, Peggy wouldn't do that when we were there. She would always be a little bit embarrassed by me. But I trusted the authority. Listen to this. Jesus' authority is universal and eternal. You will never go somewhere to seek to share the gospel that Jesus hasn't given you the authority to go. Jim Ballard had authority to share the gospel in that laundry room that day, that laundromat that day, because Jesus gave him the authority. Roman numeral 1b, Jesus authorizes and empowers the mission of the church. He's not going to authorize and empower. He's already done that. It's just time that we start acting in the authority and the empowerment that is ours in Christ. And to do that, we must realize, letter C, we cannot fulfill the mission on our own. Now, that's a twofold thing. Number one, we can't do it on our own. We don't have the power on our own. We don't have the ability. But here's the real kicker. This is what I love. Jesus won't let you do it on your own. That's why he said in Matthew 28:20, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." See, that promise, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age," is inextricably linked to the command to go make disciples. That means every time I step out my door and every time I say, "Can I tell you about Jesus?" He's right there witnessing with me. You remember what Paul said? "As though God were making the appeal through us, be reconciled to God." We can't witness without him being there. He just shows up and he empowers and authorizes the witness that we have for Christ. I wish you could have been there on the next Sunday. We have two worship services. I think y'all have two worship services. We have two worship services like you do. And so I'd given out five envelopes in the first service and I'd given out five envelopes in the second service. And we got to that next week, and by that time I'd received Jim's testimony, and I just wept. I mean, when I read, he sent me about a two-page testimony, and I dialed him up, and I said, "Jim, you got to share this tomorrow." I said, "You have got to tell this story tomorrow." And so he agreed, and we worked that into the message the next day. And I was about to close the service, Matt, and the four other people in the first service who had gotten their envelope said, "Preacher, I got to tell my story." And one lady, a little 82-year-old lady born in Germany, Miss Helga, came down and she said, "Oh, Pastor, I've got to tell my story." And in her rich German accent, she told about a lady she'd encountered at a gas station. Now, why an 82-year-old is at a gas station, I don't know, but she was there. And she shared the gospel with this woman and offered her the money as just assistance. And they began to come up. They said, "I've got to tell my story." I didn't think we were going to close the service that morning. Just folks. And get this, nobody had encountered anybody that prayed to receive Christ, but they were stoked because they had shared the gospel. They'd been faithful to share the gospel. And they felt the victory of obedience in sharing the gospel. My favorite story came from one of the ladies who took an envelope. And she sent Peggy and me a 12-minute voice text. I didn't even know you could do a 12-minute voice text. But she sent us a 12-minute voice text detailing how God had changed her life through obediently taking the gospel challenge. Will 10 of you come? We're beginning point 2. At the beginning of point 3, I'm going to ask you for 10 who just come and say, you know what? I'll be one of the 10. I will begin today to live with gospel generosity. So Jesus provides the authority and power for the mission of the church. Here's Roman numeral number 2. And we find this in verse 7. The method and the message for the mission of the church comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. He didn't leave anything to chance. First of all, he gives us the authority and the power. Then he gives us the method and the message. Look at verse 7. And as you go, what? Preach! As you go, preach! And then he tells them what to preach. Matt, he didn't even leave that to chance. He didn't even say, make up your own message. He said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the method and the message of the mission of the church comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our methodology, Roman numeral 2a, our methodology is proclamation. And I don't care how you slice it, look it up in any dictionary, thesaurus, or any other vocabulary book you want to. It means to say it out loud. People say, well, I'm just going to live like a Christian and they'll know. No, they'll know you're a pretty decent person. And that's good. We need to live like a Christian. But you have to proclaim the gospel. Did you notice that? Jesus said, as you go, preach. And by the way, the word he uses here is not in any way, shape, form, or fashion inextricably linked to the office of the pastor. It is a word of proclamation that belongs to everyone who knows Jesus as Lord. And so our methodology is proclamation. Now, we can find a lot of creative ways to do that. We've got a team going out this Friday night. Our downtown Milledgeville practices First Fridays. And all the businesses, they have these fanfare things and they'll have games and things. And we've got a team going to downtown Milledgeville this week, loaded down with tracts and gospel invitations and church invitations, and they're going to just meander through the crowd. You know what? They've been authorized to do that. Jesus has given them the authority to do that. But in doing that, they're going to be proclaiming. Now, they won't stand on a platform like I am tonight and shout at the top of their lungs, but they're going to be proclaiming. You see, our methodology is proclamation. When Jim was in that laundromat on that Saturday morning, talking one-on-one, paying, putting those quarters in those machines, praying with those individuals, you know what he was doing? He was proclaiming the gospel. And we must proclaim. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 1:18 says. For the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Man, have you ever thought about how foolish it is what we do every Sunday? From a worldly perspective, it's foolish. And God uses it. I mean, a man standing in front of an auditorium full of people just speaking words. Now, I know it's the Word of God, all right, so get that. I understand that. It's the authority of the Word of God. But from a human perspective, you've got to admit it's pretty foolish. And yet God uses it. And you know what the world says? That's foolish. But you know what we who have been saved say? It's the power of God. And so I want to encourage you to become a proclaimer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Monday night, Peggy and I are privileged to host about 50 college students in our home. We have Bible study, we have dinner, and then Bible study. You got to be weird to have 50 college students in your house on Monday nights. But we were there last night, and when we broke down and got down to the Bible study, we're walking through Romans together. We're in Romans 12, and we began to talk about just walking with humility before the Lord, sharing the gospel. And one of our young ladies who went to Africa with us last year, Macy, she spoke up and she said, you know, I've become much bolder in my sharing of the gospel. And I said, Macy, what do you attribute the boldness to? This was beautiful, y'all. It was a threefold. I told her, I said, that is the, if there was a formula, that's the formula. You know what she said? You know what she attributed her increased boldness to? She said, I'm spending more time in prayer, more time in the Word, and you won't ever guess what the third one was. I'm spending more time sharing the gospel. And she said, the more I share the gospel, the bolder I get in sharing the gospel. And so we must preach the gospel. But not only did Jesus tell us what to do, preach, proclaim, he told us what to say. Now for them, it was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was a specific message to the nation of Israel, calling them back to a Yahweh-centered worship and lifestyle that would culminate in the recognition of Jesus as Messiah. They rejected that by and large. They did not receive Jesus as Messiah, but that was the message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is our message? Look at Roman numeral 2b. Our message is the gospel. We don't need to make up, and we don't get to make up our message. We must tell the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, we've kind of adapted the good news version of the gospel. And we say it like this. I've twisted it just a little bit for my mindset. But the gospel boils down to four phrases. Good news, bad news, worst news, best news. The good news is God, who created the heavens and the earth, created you and me for a relationship with himself. Imagine that. The God of the cosmos wants a relationship with you and me. That's good news. The bad news is we sinned, went our way instead of God's way, and broke the relationship God intended to have with us. And that's bad news. But the worst news is there's nothing you and I can do to repair that relationship. In fact, the damage is so bad, the Bible says the wages of that sin is death. But the best news of all is that God did for us in the person of Jesus Christ what we cannot do for ourselves. God himself came in the person of Jesus Christ, lived a perfect sinless life, died on a cross in place of you and me, was buried and raised from the dead, and the Bible simply says that if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, that's the gospel. In fact, if you want to sum the gospel up in three verses, let me share with you three verses. That first two verses summarize the gospel. The third verse invites unsaved people to be saved. But 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, Paul said, let me tell you the most important thing that's ever been told to me. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried, and God raised him from the dead according to the Scriptures. So that's the gospel. If you think you're sharing the gospel and you're not sharing that Jesus died for our sins, was buried and raised from the dead, you're not sharing the gospel as it's presented in the Word. Now, that's the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. The invitation is Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. We've just adopted a new vision statement for our church. Our mission statement, what we do, is based on our name. Our name is Lakeside Baptist Church, abbreviated to LBC. Our mission statement that we say every Sunday as we're together is we are LBC. It is our mission to love God, be Christ-like, care for others. We've just adopted a brand new vision statement. That's what we do, but I thought we need a reason to do that. And after a season of prayer, God birthed this in our church. And this is our vision. We live in what's called Georgia's Lake Country. We're right in the middle of Lake Sinclair and Lake Oconee. And they call it Georgia's Lake Country. And so here's our vision. Reducing the lostness in Georgia's Lake Country, one gospel conversation at a time. Reducing lostness in Georgia's Lake Country, one gospel conversation at a time. And we're trying to teach our folks that that's what it boils down to, is just you having a gospel conversation with a friend, a neighbor, relative, or coworker that you know or believe to be unsaved. So the method and the message of the mission of the church comes from the Lord. And on that Sunday morning, a few weeks ago, 10 of our people said, you know what, I'll take that challenge. And I'm just going to tell y'all, it's rocking our church's world. We baptized 11 people this past Sunday. We're baptizing a 12th this coming Sunday. And God's moving as our people just begin to practice gospel generosity. Just talking to their friends and neighbors and we haven't even done any evangelism training. We haven't said, now here's how you share the gospel. We've made some tools available. But we've just challenged our people, hey, why don't you live with some gospel generosity? Are you one of the 10 at First Baptist Moultrie that God will use to breathe an evangelistic fervor into the life of your church? Look at Roman numeral number 3. The mandate of the Lord Jesus Christ regarding the mission of the church is gospel generosity. Look at the last phrase, or actually the last two phrases in verse 8. Jesus said, freely you receive, freely give. Think about your salvation. Think about the great grace that God has shown you and me by saving us. How are we saved? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Look at letter A. How dare we be stingy with that which cost us nothing and benefits us everything? Who are the 10? Would you come? Do you believe that God's calling you to a life of gospel? And it's going to take some courage for you to get up and come down here. I know that. I realize that. But it'll also take courage and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit for you to talk to your friend or neighbor or relative or coworker. I've got 10 envelopes. Who'll claim the first one? 10 people that'll say, you know what? I'll live with gospel generosity. I'll be one who will go and pray for a divine appointment and ask the Lord to put me where He'd have me to be and to use that $20 bill in a creative way to reach a friend, a neighbor, a relative, a coworker. And I will, by God's grace, be a part of the catalyst that God's going to use to revolutionize the way my church views evangelism. And I'm going to be one of the ones that God will use to begin to bring our community to a realization that Jesus Christ died for their sins, He was buried, that God raised Him from the dead, and that He is not a way of salvation, He is the way of salvation, and there is none other besides Him. And tonight we have 10 that are going to take the challenge, and they're going to go, and they're going to begin to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just going to stop right now. We're not done yet. We're almost done. But I want you to join me. I don't even know who these 10 are. Now, in my church, I knew who they were, and I sent their names out the next day in an email, and I just say, here are the 10. But I don't know your names, but I'm just going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I believe that somehow the church has to find its new zeal to share the gospel, to live with a greater sense of urgency, to be generous with this free gift that you've given us. How dare we be stingy with that which costs us nothing but benefits us everything? And so for these 10 brave men and women who've said, you know what, I'll lead the way. I'll be a part of what God's doing at First Baptist Moultrie, and I'm going to begin to live generously with the gospel. I pray for two things. One, that you would give them creative wisdom in how to use this gospel generosity challenge. And number two, you'd provide them divine appointments. And Lord, I pray that in the next days and weeks that Matt's phone would ring off the hook with testimonies of how God is changing the lives of the people in this church that will ultimately result in the gospel being proclaimed and the lives in this community being transformed for eternity. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, real quickly, look at letter B, Roman numeral 2B, and we're almost done. How can we live out gospel generosity? Four things that I want to share with you, and then you've got some homework. Number one, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, to all who believe. Beloved, we have no reason to be ashamed. Jesus is exactly who he says he is. He did exactly what he says he will do, and he is the only way anyone can ever be saved. Number two, realize every encounter you have could impact someone's eternity. In Acts chapter 16, verses 22 to 40, Paul and Silas were in a Philippian jail. Nobody would have blamed them at all if they had just had a little pity party there, but they didn't. They realized there were other prisoners and there was a jailer who needed to hear the gospel. And the result was a Philippian jailer and his family came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every encounter you and I have impacts eternity. Number three, the foundation is caring about the eternal disposition of another's soul. In other words, do you care whether your friends, relatives, neighbors, and coworkers go to heaven or hell? Because the only difference is Jesus. In Acts chapter 26, verses 28 and 29, as Paul was standing before Agrippa, Agrippa said, Paul, do you think in just a little while you're going to convince me to be a Christian? And Paul said, I don't care if it's a little while or a long while. I want everybody to be like me. That means saved. And then I think to bring some levity, Paul said, oh, except for these chains. He said, I want you to be saved. And whether it takes a little while or a long while. Number four, I cannot give that which I have not received. So here's the question for you. Have you received the gospel? Are you saved? You say, preacher, I'm in church on Tuesday night. But do you belong to Jesus? Is he Lord? Look at letter C. This is so important. And I mean this. While living out gospel generosity, you might get dog bit. Look at the very next verse. We ended with verse 15. Look at the very next verse. Jesus never read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People. He never read a lot of the leadership manuals today. Because look at the very next thing he said. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. One of our dear ladies who plays keyboard in our praise team walked across the street to begin to engage one of her friends and neighbors, and on her second visit, the dog bit her and damaged her leg, bit her pretty bad. And so I don't want to paint any kind of rosy picture here that if you go out and share the gospel, that it's going to be hunky-dory and everybody's going to love you and just pat you on the back. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Matt, I've been doing a lot of teaching in our church lately on developing a robust theology of suffering. Paul said that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but it's still our mission. It's still our aim. So what's the application? Well, number one, let's commit our lives to living out gospel generosity. And you don't have to have a gospel generosity challenge envelope to do that. It's just you and me deciding tonight that I'm going to live freely with the gospel. I'm going to engage my friends and neighbors, relatives and co-workers about life and about their hopes and dreams. And in the process of building those relationships, I'm going to be free with the gospel. I'm going to tell them who I am as a follower of Christ. I'm going to tell them how Jesus has impacted me and how he can impact them. But it begins with a commitment of just saying, I'm going to stop being stingy with that which costs me nothing but benefits me everything. And you and I can make that decision tonight in this time of refreshment. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this body of believers gathered here on this Tuesday night would be refreshed in our commitment to living with gospel generosity? And then just a little bit of homework. I want you to continue thinking about ways that you can live out gospel generosity. And so tonight, I don't know what your typical tradition is in terms of invitation. I don't know if you come and pray here or not. You know what your church culture is, and that's okay, whatever it is. But during the next few moments, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to be seated, and Brother Matt's going to lead us out from here. Would you just take seriously the challenge before us tonight to begin to live out gospel generosity. Father, please encourage us tonight as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to live with gospel generosity. God, I want to be more generous with the gospel. Lord, sometimes I don't share the gospel because I'm lazy, sometimes because I'm scared, sometimes because it's inconvenient. I'm tired of that, Lord. There are friends and neighbors, relatives and co-workers all around me dying because I've never shared with them the hope that I have in Christ. In addition to praying for these 10 who've received the Gospel Challenge envelopes, I pray, oh God, for this church, and I pray for Lakeside, that there would be an infection of gospel generosity coursing through our veins. Some of us will go to a restaurant tonight for a snack after church, and we'll encounter a wait staff. May we be faithful to show Christ to them. Some of us at work tomorrow will realize that that coworker sitting next to us, we've never shared the gospel with them. Would you motivate us toward gospel generosity? I pray, oh God, for this pastor and his wife and his precious children, for this body of believers, their privilege to serve and lead, that God, there would begin to be birthed in us a great motivation toward gospel generosity. We ask it for your glory, honor, and praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.